Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
The drug Carabin is a lifeline for some pregnant women who suffer from severe sickness and nausea, but it is currently unavailable for refund through the drugs payment scheme, and it's not covered by the medical card either. Well, to talk us through why this drug should be made available to the women who need it, we're joined now by Professor Mary Higgins, consultant obstetrician at the National Maternity Hospital, and by Dr. Naomi Smith, who's a GP registrar who suffered from hyperemesis gravidarum during both her pregnancies, and you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Naomi, I might start with yourself because you're a mother of two. You suffered from this condition, hyperemesis gravidarum, during both your pregnancies. It causes really severe nausea and vomiting. Perhaps you can just talk us through a little bit your own experience.
So thank you very much for having me on. And I think it's great to highlight this condition. As you say, you know, I'm a mother of two and I feel extremely fortunate to have both my children. It took us years to get pregnant with our first. But just to talk through my most recent pregnancy, now, thankfully, he's 2 months old and doing well. But for me, the hyperemesis meant that, you know, as soon as I woke up in the morning, I was feeling, you know, extremely sick. So I had a glass of water, a cup of tea, you know, I vomited up immediately. And it would just kind of continue all day like that. If I ate anything, I'd be sick. And it got to the point that nearly every day I was vomiting up blood just from the force of the vomit, like how severe it was. I was admitted into hospital nearly every week into the Coombe just to get fluids and strips. You know, I was iron deficient. I was really unwell. So I needed a lot of kind of intervention and help. I wasn't able to look after my older child. You know, I had to get a lot of family in to help out with that. Just I was so kind of depleted and washed out with the hyperemesis. And it's a really isolating experience because I think a lot of people hear about, you know, nausea and vomiting in pregnancy and they just assume that it's morning sickness. You know, and understandably people can say, oh, sure, look, it'll pass and all that. But at the time, you know, it really is 9 months of just non-stop sickness where you just can't function. You know, and for me, it meant that I wasn't able to continue working during the pregnancy. I was just too ill. So you're taking, I suppose, a financial hit when you're unable to work. And then with Carabin being as expensive as it is, you know, it's just another, you know, kick when you're down as such. So it's very difficult.
It sounds really distressing because, you know, being pregnant is anxiety-inducing enough for lots of other reasons, you know, just by the nature of the condition of being pregnant.
Absolutely.
There's so many things that you worry about. And then if you have this on top of it, you're physically depleted. And then I imagine you're worrying about, you know, how all this might affect the baby.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I suppose, you know, one of the fortunate stuff I'd worked in Hollis Street myself during my training. But, you know, I had seen, you know, how difficult it was for women and it was for me too. You know, in the end, I actually had to get the baby delivered early when I was just 37 weeks pregnant because of how sick I was. You know, and then my baby, my new baby, Matthew, you know, he was quite sick then because he came early. You know, he's very jaundiced. He had a lot of issues then, kind of gaining weight. So it's been, you know, tough even since. As a result of the hyperemesis. So it definitely, you know, adds a lot of stress onto a pregnancy.
Congratulations, however, on his delivery. 2 months old. It's beautiful to have a new little baby like that in the house. You were prescribed Carabin during both pregnancies. So can you tell me then how, when you started to take that, how that changed things for you?
Yeah, so I started Carabin for the first time in my first pregnancy. So I was under the care of Professor Nadine Farah in the Coombe, who was super, and got me kind of straight on to the Carabin once I told her that I'd started to lose a lot of weight. So one of the things with hyperemesis is that, you know, because you're vomiting a lot more than just normal morning sickness, generally you lose a lot of weight. So the Carabin helped me maintain my weight in my first pregnancy. And I don't think I would have been, you know, I would have been admitted to hospital more if I hadn't been on the Carabin. So the Carabin does reduce the nausea, and for a lot of women it can mean that they're actually able to function enough that they can continue to work. Now the medicine, it cost me over €3,000 just for the Carabin alone. I was taking three other medicines as well for the hyperemesis, but just Carabin is just exorbitantly expensive. You know, I'm very lucky that I have a job, you know, and I had a secure income. But it's a really significant financial hit to be spending that amount of money on just one medicine that is, you know, essential. Like, this is definitely.
Well, especially as you say, when you had to take time off work or you weren't able to work at all for your second pregnancy. Stay with us, Naomi, if you don't mind. And we have Professor Mary Higgins on the line, who's an obstetrician. And this would be no news to you, Mary. You will see regularly enough pregnant women like Naomi in your clinics, don't you?
We do indeed. And Caravan is ideally our first line medication. They're national guidelines. And the reason it's our first line medication is because it has a good safety profile. Up until the COVID vaccine, it was the most studied medication in pregnancy. And we had data of about 200,000 pregnancies. And in fact, about 10 years ago, a leading expert in disease in pregnancy and medications in pregnancy said it was unethical not to offer this as a medication to pregnant women. It's a mixture of pyridoxine and doxylamine, so it is a very safe medication. And Naomi has elegantly described the horrors of having hyperemesis, of the weight loss and the quality of life. And also, one of the things is the mental health effects that people can get. Because if you think about it, 9 months is a long time to feel like this every single day. The other thing that's important to highlight is that there's people who, medically, we really want them to keep their medications down. So women with epilepsy, where it's really important that they are compliant with their medications, or inflammatory bowel disease, women with diabetes, where in the first trimester of pregnancy, you really want their sugars to be as stable as possible. And with the hyperemesis and nausea and vomiting, they can be very unstable. So that's why it's even more important. And I can certainly say, and I'd say nearly every other obstetrician in the country can talk about people where you're going, we'd like you to try this medication. And they say, I don't have the money for that. It is a choice of feeding my children or getting this medication. And that isn't a choice when you put it like that. So what happens then is we put them on the second or third line medications, which don't have the same safety profile. So we're conscious that we're giving them a medication that doesn't have the same safety profile in the first trimester of pregnancy, where you're really trying to do the right thing for the baby and for the mum. And that is what makes people quite angry, to be honest. And that's why I think the vast majority of us would support the campaign by Hyperemesis Ireland that this should be included as part of the drug payment and the medical card.
So what you're saying there is, by virtue of having enough money, women who have enough money and are in the lucky position to do so still have to pay over €3,000, as Naomi did in her case, but they have the access to a drug that has been proven to be safer in pregnancy than other drugs. And women who don't have the money have the only option available to them to go for drugs that are less safe or
absolutely. And then it gets into a self-perpetuating thing, because if you're able to get the medication, then you can stay and work. And unfortunately, there's quite a lot of people, if you're not working, you're not getting paid. So if you're not getting paid, then you're spiraling down into more financial difficulty, and people are saving money, are losing money. So it just gets worse and worse for people who are areas of deprivation. It makes us, as I said, it makes us quite angry that this has to happen, especially when you consider some of the other medications that are on the medical card. And I think people are nervous. You're nervous about medications in pregnancy. They always have the spectre of thalidomide hanging over. Mm. But that's why this has been so studied. And that's why people have said, as I said, it's unethical not to offer it. And that's why we're advocating for it.
Yeah, you know, we were actually discussing this issue on this programme, I think it was about a year ago, perhaps over a year ago, and I don't think anything has changed since then. And yet there are many other drugs on the drug payment scheme, for example, including, I think, Viagra in some cases. So that's available for people for very important reasons.
And well, that could lead us into an entire talk about women's health.
Well, indeed. And I'm very tempted to go down that route, Mary, I have to say, but maybe we won't. But is there any explanation forthcoming? Is there any reason that this wouldn't be included?
I think it's, again, going back to the worry that people have that if you put it onto the medical card, I imagine one of the concerns that people might be is that, are we therefore validating it? But it's in our national guidelines. It's in the national guidelines of nearly every organisation that I'm aware of. So the Canadian, the American, the Australian, the New Zealand, French, the English. UK licensed it a couple of years ago. It makes a massive difference. When it came off the market temporarily in the 1980s because of some safety concerns that were never proven in the end. And there was a massive increase in people needing hospitalisation and quality of life issues. And the thing is as well, we have had people who have come to us and said, I don't know if I continue in the pregnancy. Because going week after week after week after week of hyperemesis, nausea and vomiting, it's like having a permanent hangover, but you're still expected to get on with your life. Mm. And some people are saying, I can't afford this medication, so I don't know if I continue in the pregnancy. And they get into a very dark and very, it can really, really affect their mental health. And that's why a caravan isn't a panacea. It has to be offered in the support of holistic care, but it makes such a difference. Mm. And even just before this, I was telling someone I was going to have this phone call, and she was like, caravan is my best friend. I can't come off it. I'm 32 weeks, but it gets me up in the morning and keeps me going. That's what people are talking about, how much of a difference it makes.
For you, Naomi, was it a big decision to have a second child, given what you went through in the first pregnancy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for my husband and I, we had to take into account just the financial consideration, because I knew more than likely I'd end up needing to go on the medications again. And I suppose sometimes women can have a less severe version of hyperemesis on subsequent pregnancies, but I think I was just unlucky that I had the hyperemesis a lot worse for my second pregnancy. And I suppose now looking ahead, you kind of think, well, look, you know, I can't see myself having a normal pregnancy without the hyperemesis. So it's something that, you know, you really have to stop and think about, because it's an enormous financial strain when you already have kids, which is such a significant expense anyway. But also the thought of being non-productive, you know, not being able to work for such a long time. You know, working as a doctor is something I really enjoy, and that, you know, I don't want to, you know, miss out on. You know, I'd like to be able to be a productive member of society and, you know, continue to function. So, you know, it's something that's very, very inhibiting, really. You know, I had hoped that, you know, when I had my first pregnancy, that maybe on the second pregnancy, caravan might have been reimbursed on the drug payment scheme or the medical card, you know, but there's been no progress, as you've highlighted.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. I wonder how it affected your mental health, do you think? Just the condition generally and indeed the financial strain.
Yeah, like, you know, it's I really can't underestimate how stressful it is. It's very, very isolating. Like, I'd spend my whole day really just in the bathroom, just sick. And I found it really hard because I had a baby at the same time. And, you know, you can't look after her. You know, I was being admitted into hospital every week and you're away from her. And, you know, my husband was stuck doing night shifts. She was a bad sleeper, you know, so you're just feeling guilty all the time, really. And it's very hard to talk to people about it, you know, because it's kind of, you know, it's not the normal pregnancy sickness experience. So I think people just say, well, sure, look, aren't you going to be fine? You'll have a baby at the end of it. But when you're going through it, you know, it feels like it's never ending. You know, every day feels like a year long, and just getting through it was very, very tough, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly not alone. Lots of people contacted the programme about this. One person says, my two pregnancies have been marred by hyperemesis. I still find it hard to talk about, says that person, how different my life would have been with access to this drug. So that person didn't get this drug and still can't even talk about the experiences of her pregnancy. Deirdre has emailed the programme to say, Sarah, I suffered with hyperemesis with both my pregnancies. It was the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'd rather go through 10 labours back to back than 10 days with hyperemesis. It's borderline unsurvivable. And she continues saying that, thanks for doing this feature. It's the second time I've heard you discuss it on the show. It's really great you're shining a light on this issue. Well, to what end, I wonder, Deirdre, because as I said, it was a year ago we were talking about it. I think we were speaking to Peter Boylan at that time about it, and he was equally passionate to yourself, Mary Higgins. And, you know, no change that we can see. But those experiences that Naomi is outlining and those other listeners to the show, you know, the depth of the experience or the distress that they experienced is what you see as well, Mary, is it that sort of that
level?
Yeah,
I think people nearly have post-traumatic stress after it.
Really?
Because it is day after day. And we'll have people who come in for pre-pregnancy counselling going, what can we do? And we say, we can try this, this and this. And then and it doesn't, caravan, is, as I said, isn't a panacea, but it can make a massive difference. And when you can't afford it, it is wrong. Mm.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for taking the time to speak to us about it today. And who knows, maybe this time next year we'll be telling a different story. That's Professor Mary Higgins and Dr. Naomi Smith.